History in 5 Songs with host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back again to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. There's always stuff going on over there. New podcasts being added. Few go into pod fade, but we're not fading over here. We've never missed a week. We're up to 225 here, episode 225. I'm calling this Heaviest 70s Live Albums. What happened here was, Ed Rivadavia, a buddy of mine, put out a list on Loudwire of the 10 heaviest albums of the 70s sort of thing. And because I'm argumentative, I started arguing with him about it and over on our private email group, and then it spread over to Facebook. And then, of course, invariably what I need to do is fish out that old list from my old collector's guide book of the 100 heaviest albums of the 70s. Put that up there, people started commenting, and then all of a sudden, invariably what happens is somebody brings up a live album, you know, not realizing this whole thing that when we rate these things, we don't include live albums. Why don't we include live albums when we talk about heaviest? Of course, because they're basically greatest hits albums. They're collections of the most up-tempo songs. They're recorded fuzzier and dirtier and heavier. They're played with more aggression because it's live, ostensibly, right? But basically, live albums are a cheat. They're always going to sound heavier in almost every single example. We've got an example at the end where I think that goes the other way. So the idea here is... got me thinking, so what are the heaviest live albums of the 70s? So I kind of looked at them all and compared them to their studio catalogs. And, you know, but like I say, that's unfair. So it's more comparing them to the other live albums of the 70s. Why are we doing the 70s? Of course, the reason we're doing the 70s is because heavy metal becomes ubiquitous after 1980. And there's really not a lot of reason to compare them later or laud them or say, hey, you've done a great thing here. You're pioneering, you're at the extremity of creativity for heavy music. So we are celebrating these bands when they are heavy in the 70s because it is a fresh, new, different thing, and it's less so when we get to the 80s. So that's kind of the idea there. One thing I found out with this exercise is there is a correct answer. There is a clear winner. Absolutely a clear winner, far and away heavier than anything else on this list. So heavy, in fact, that when I compared it to my list of the 100 heaviest albums of the 70s, it literally would vault to number one. And everything else on my list, I kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, because we want to reward studio albums more so, like I say, because live albums are cheap. So I was maybe being a little harsh on it, maybe not. But I didn't find that anything else of our five examples here would, you know, arguably or unarguably, let's say objectively, would crack the top 20. But our number one answer, so stick around for that. That's the number five slot. Our number one answer is the heaviest album of the 70s, period, live or studio. Okay, let's get started with our first selection here. This is Rush with Something for Nothing. Okay, so this is an interesting one. But by the way, before we start, it's funny that this conversation might start with an album that we've talked about many times on here. I'm not going to include it in the five, but 1969, MC5, Kick Out the Jams. That's a pretty darn heavy album. It is a live album. It is a live album of original songs. We've done other episodes on that. But yeah, kind of interesting that we can go that far back for a pretty darn heavy album. of the 70s, well, it's a 69 album. So you know how when I do these books and blah, 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 I always kind of fold the 60s into the 70s when we're talking about heaviness, because there's, you know, exponentially less in the 60s kind of thing. But anyways, so the interesting thing about this that I really like about this Rush pick, so we played Something for Nothing. The reason I like this pick as one of the heaviest 70s live albums is that I'm kind of rewarding Rush for the idea of, here, listen to me, rewarding Rush, right? Who cares what I think, right? This is one that really almost helped, you know, co-inspire the whole idea of this episode, because I've always found the All the World's a Stage album, September 29th, 1976, recorded at Massey Hall, a really heavy album. And it's, I would say it's Rush's heaviest album if we include studio and live. And I really like that it could vault onto this list, with Rush being not one of the heaviest bands from the 70s. So what I also deigned to do with this is to go back to my old-fashioned cool rating system. Remember in that old Collector's Guide to the 70s book, I had a dual rating system where I rated heaviness and merit, right? So every album had a two-number rating. Because we were always obsessed as kids with measuring heaviness. So I'm giving you a two album rating for these albums as well, but it's not the same two album rating. So the first number is the heaviness of the catalog as a whole, so all the studio albums combined. And then the second number is the heaviness of this live album. So for Rush, in the 70s, mind you, this first number would go down if we included everything further, for sure. For All the World's a Stage, I'm giving it a 6/8. So the heaviness of the catalog is a 6. The heaviness of this album is an 8. We kick off with Bastille Day, Anthem, Fly By Night / In the Mood. Even Fly By Night In the Mood is essentially power chord songs, right? But Anthem's one of their heaviest songs. Bastille Day is one of their heaviest songs. Side 2 is Lakeside Park. Again, heavy enough. It's heavy prog, right? Into 2112, which is heavy. Side 3, Bytor and the Snow Dog, and In the End, pretty darn heavy. Bytor, In the End, even has its heaviness. It's got the big blocky power chords, right? But side 4 is Working Man, Finding My Way, What You're Doing. I mean, that's basically three of Rush's heaviest songs, you know, filling up this rock solid side 4. So that's why we've got Rush in there. I really like that. Now, to fill out this category, I kind of like this category as we're surprised that these bands could almost get into this list of some of the heaviest albums. So I wanted to give a shout out to Derringer Live. You know, this is one of those missed opportunities where had this album come out after Sweet Evil and had a bunch of those cool Sweet Evil songs on it, and maybe had Derringer made it a double album and possibly thrown on a really key strategic, hit-oriented cover song on it, live, Derringer might have been a Frampton Comes Alive kind of star, right? Because you've got this Guitar Hero thing and all these pretty good accessible songs. So Derringer Live, even on its own, pretty darn heavy. Same thing with Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush Live. I think that's probably Frank Marino's heaviest album. Foghat Live is also a surprised that it gets on this list kind of album. It was a huge successful album for them, but you've got Fool for the City, A Rocker, Home in My Hand, Rocky Enough, I Just Want to Make Love to You, even though it's a cover, it's one of their heaviest songs. Road Fever, Rocky Enough, Honey Hush, very up-tempo, rocky, basically a amphetamine version of Train Kept a Rollin', right? And Slow Ride, very heavy song for them. So that's kind of cool. Also, semi-surprised, but Pat Travers is a pretty heavy act. But Go For What You Know Live is a pretty heavy album to get on here. I think I had the, in my notes, I did have the track listing to this one here somewhere. Hang on, did we got this here? Did we do this? Yes, we did. Hooked on Music, Getting Better, Go All Night, Boom Boom, Out Go the Lights. So the first side is a lot of kind of funky Pat Travers, but it's heavy enough, right? And then Stevie is not heavy to kick off side two, but all of it's almost like the Rush album. All of the end of it is Making Magic, Heat in the Street, It Makes No Difference, three of his heaviest songs, so it's a single live album. But pretty darn heavy for Pat Travers. I think even Cheap Trick and Budokan belongs in this conversation as surprised to be here. Cheap Trick would be more like a 5-7, right? Pat Travers would be more like a 6.7. Foghat Live would be like a 4.57. Derringer Live would be, again, probably more like a 4.57. So there you go. Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here. History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 225, Heaviest 70s Live Albums. I was going to call it Heaviest Live Albums of the 70s, but we're always trying to keep those titles kind of short. Take a listen to our second selection here. This is Scorpions with Dark Lady. All right, Tokyo Tapes. This is recorded April 24th and 27th in Japan, 78, out later that year. Uli John Roth quits the band shortly thereafter. I think my Canadian copy always said 1978. It's not going to change, I suppose. Wiki says it was out in 79 in the US. Okay, if you say so. Scorpions puts out this double live album towards the end of the 70s. It closes off the Uli era. I would say this album gets a rating of 7.8. Because by this point, you know, we still had some pretty mellow krautrocky albums in Lonesome Crow and Fly to the Rainbow, but they're getting heavier. There's only a few more, right? Maybe they're almost an 8.8, right? Because this is pretty indicative of the heaviness of the catalog. Side one's got All Night Long, a new song that is heavy. Picture Life, not terribly heavy. Backstage Queen, not terribly heavy. Polar Nights, not terribly heavy. In Trance, not terribly heavy. But all of them have, you know, a fair bit of guitar crunch to them, pretty up-tempo. We'll Burn the Skies, heavy. Suspender Love is a new one, and that's a hard rockin', you know, modern enough hard rockin' song. In Search of the Peace of Mind, no. Fly to the Rainbow, not particularly. But side three, we've got He's a Woman, She's a Man, Speedy's Coming, Top of the Bill. Hound Dog, Long Tall Sally. I'm looking at my notes here, and because my red and my blue ink is almost out and they're hyperlinked in my cut and paste, they're almost unreadable. So we've got another unreadable one. Oh, yeah, right, that's the Japanese song. But side four, yeah, Steam Rock Fever, Dark Lady, The Japanese Thing, and Robot Man. So basically, all side three and side four is a very, very heavy Scorpions here. Top of the Bill is one of their heaviest songs. Speedy's Cummins, one of their heaviest songs. Dark Lady, which we played, is one of their heaviest songs. The only thing missing from this, pretty interesting, right? They don't do Virgin Killer, their heaviest song. And they don't do The Sails of Charon, their best song, their Stairway to Heaven, right? Two notable admissions from this album, but for a double album that could have gone sideways, you know, as I'm going to mention maybe in the honorable mentions, it's not always a given that these bands would be completely heavy. Remember, I did that episode of the medley thing. So this has one of those horrid rock and roll medleys. You know, you think of, I think it's Sweet does this, but Uriah Heep definitely does this, right? We did a whole episode on this. Bands can stretch out songs and do that 70s thing and jam a lot or throw in a cover, a blues and or whatever. And so these can go pear-shaped, but Scorpions does not go pear-shaped with Tokyo Tapes, and thus we are rewarding it. We are rating it one of the heaviest 70s live albums. Okay, let's move on to our next selection. Take a listen to this. This is UFO with Mother Mary. Okay, so Strangers in the Night, January 2nd, 1979. You know what? I actually had until Hang on, let me grab my copy of this. I had until the last minute, believe it or not, T's Tour of Japan in this slot. So this was going to be T's Tour in Japan. I even picked out my little 30-second music clip and all of that. And then I looked at UFO Strangers in the Night and said, you know what? I just can't put T's Tour of Japan higher than this. So I want to give some praise to T's Tour of Japan, first of all. It's a single album. Obviously, it's a baby band. It's only after two studio albums. But everything's very up-tempo on this. It's got 10 songs. The only things that are not particularly up-tempo, well, they aren't at all, are Open My Eyes and Tonight It's Me. So that's two songs, right? Eight out of 10 of the rest of them are up-tempo and heavy enough. The only ones that are up-tempo and maybe party rocking, but still heavy for the 70s, are going to have a good time tonight and rocking with the music. Well, even that's pretty heavy. But we do have Lady Killer on here. We have Baby Why Can't You. We've got Boys Night Out, Hot to Trot. Very heavy album. And again, the idea why we call live albums a cheat. So the T's album's a great example of this, but this is a positive. Great performances, great recording, just really up-tempo and energetic. That's definitely, you know, what happens with live albums. So yeah, that was almost in this slot. But I did erase from the record T's to put UFO Mother Mary in here, and just to go through Strangers of the Night. And again, you know, another form of cheat is as you get towards the end of the decade, there's more heaviness and it's easier to be heavy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Lots of heaviness. But yeah, so on this, you've got Natural Thing, Out in the Streets, Only You Can Rock Me. Oh boy, again, there's my link thing. Doctor. So that's all, you know, rock block, solid, good rocking UFO. I mean, UFO can be a little melodic, a little Stonesy, a little Thin Lizzy-ish in their heaviness sometimes. But side two, you've got Mother Mary. You've got This Kids, both heavy. Love to Love, they're big epic and it's got some heavy parts. Side three is Lights Out and Rock Bottom. Now, you know, I usually want to downgrade when you get an 11-minute version of Rock Bottom or anything like that. But, you know, UFO is not a blues band. So they are rocking out. It's guitar, solo, bass, blah, blah, blah. So it's heavy enough, right? Side four, Too Hot to Handle, I'm a Loser, not heavy. But Let It Roll, super heavy, one of their heaviest songs, and Shoot, Shoot, heavy enough. So yeah, I looked at this and said, you know, you got to include it, right? People notice this one. It is a notable album. It's one of the greatest live albums of all time. But I looked at it, and yeah, it's pretty heavy. What did I give it for a rating? I gave it a 7.8. So again, kind of matching Scorpions in heaviness of the catalog to begin with, and then bring it up one notch to a nice, healthy 8 out of 10. All right, take a listen to our fourth selection here. This is Ted Nugent with Gonzo. Okay, Double Live Gonzo. You know, I wasn't sure this was going to make it, but then I looked at the tracks, and I looked at Ted's great stage raps and his crazy guitar antics and his high energy on stage, and you can hear it on this record. You can see it on the front of the album cover and the back of the album cover. And then I thought, you know, off the top of my head, because I'm a complainer, pessimist, off the top of my head, even before I looked at the track listing, I'm thinking, Great White Buffalo, Hibernation. Well, it turns out those are really the mellowest songs on the whole album. So it is a really heavy record. We've got Just What the Doctor Ordered, heavy enough. Wang Dang, Sweet Poontang, totally heavy. Cat Scratch Fever. So again, what we have here is we have a catalog that's recorded very politely with not very good rhythm section work on it. Not very good productions from Tom Werman. So everything is heavier and more up-tempo on here. So Cat Scratch Fever totally sounds like a heavy metal song on Double Live Gonzo. Storm Troopin', absolutely heavy. Hibernation, like I said, that's more of like a mellow bluesy guitar workout. More like a poppy, proggy, Allman Brothers kind of thing. Motor City Madhouse, an early version of speed metal, right? Totally heavy. Stranglehold's heavy. Gonzo, the song we played, is a non-LP or non-studio LP song, and it's a total rocker. Baby Please Don't Go is completely up-tempo and heavy enough on here. Yank Me, Crank Me is another new one that is totally heavy. And Great White Buffalo, like I say, Great White Buffalo's kept down to 6 minutes or whatever, and it's heavy enough anyways, right? So yeah, absolutely. I wasn't sure if something was going to beat this, but you know, pretty much nothing beats this. And I would say, well, we've got our one clear winner, but I would say that Ted Nugent Double Live Gonzo is a heavier album than Tokyo Tapes and Strangers in the Night, you know. So we've got an American band beating a German band and an English band. And yes, I think it's a heavier album. So there you go. You know, I wanted to compare that also to, for some reason, yeah. So I wanted to compare it to Aerosmith Live Bootleg. I wanted to check Live Bootleg, and I did, because that's what we do here on the show. We are getting these correct answers for you, right? So I look at Live Bootleg and think, okay, Back in the Saddle, Sweet Emotion, Lord of the Thighs, Toys in the Attic, rock solid, heavy metal, screaming, hard rocking side one. Absolutely, you cannot deny anything on that. So all of a sudden we're giving Double Live Gonzo a run for its money. Get to side two, Last Child, Come Together, Walk This Way. Sick as a Dog, my favorite Aerosmith song of all time. Walk This Way is amazing, but not crazy, crazy heavy. Come Together, wish it wasn't on here. Last Child, not very heavy. So side two, eh. Side three, Dream On, their ballad. Chip Away the Stone, great song, non-LP. Richie Supa, kind of heavy. I always liked it. Sight for Sore Eyes, not a fan. Mama Kin, not a fan. So not a very heavy side three. SOS is on there too, and that's a good song. And heavy. Side four is that little sort of archival-y sort of side with I Ain't Got You, Mother Popcorn, and Train Kept a Rollin'. So that's kind of a big waste. Covery, bluesy, not very heavy. Train Kept a Rollin' I could even do without because it is a cover and we're so sick of it. So basically, Live Bootleg, you lose out to Ted Nugent, Double Live Gonzo, with that track list. That is not so great. And I also wanted to compare to AC/DC, If You Want Blood. This is definitely a contender because AC/DC is a pretty heavy band. Every song is arranged heavy. They're not written particularly heavy, but everything is a power chord song with AC/DC, right? So when you look at this track list, so it's only a single album, which was always disconcerting. Riff Raff, totally heavy. Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be, sure. Bad Boy Boogie, sure. The Jack, not very heavy. Problem Child, we were always suspect of that song as being a little poppy, right? Whole Lotta Rosie, totally heavy, but I always thought it had kind of like an old rock and roll vibe that I wasn't happy with. Rock and Roll Damnation, kind of poppy. Love it, but kind of poppy. High Voltage, so now we're going back to the early days and not particularly, it's so simple that it doesn't come off as particularly heavy. Let There Be Rock, again, like Whole Lotta Rosie. It's heavy, it's aggressive, but it's got that old rock and roll vibe. And speaking of old rock and roll vibe, the album closes with Rocker. So I'm not particularly crazy impressed with the track list on If You Want Blood. So again, I'm going to give it to Ted in that three-way battle there. Okay, let's move on to our fifth selection. Take a listen to this. This is Judas Priest with Genocide. All right, Unleashed in the East, September 17th, 1979. Okay, before we move on, I'm going to give Double Live Gonzo a 7.59. Okay, so we moved up to a 9 in heaviness there. Judas Priest Unleashed in the East, I'm going to give this a 9/10. So the heaviness of the catalog. We've got lots of Judas Priest songs in the heaviest albums of the 70s period. We've got Killing Machine way up the list. Stained Class way up the list. Sad Wings is on the list. Sin After Sin is on the list. But so I'm going to give the catalog of the 70s a 9 for heaviness, which, by the way, is matched by the likes of Rainbow and Sabbath, I would say. But you didn't hear any Rainbow and Sabbath on this list. Why is Sabbath not on this list? They didn't put out a live album in the 70s. They only have that quasi management put out, you know, a dodgy version of Live at Last, which is like not very well recorded, and there's out-of-tune stuff on there. It's kind of like a glorified bootleg, and like I say, it's only semi-authorized or kind of not authorized at all, basically, right? But, you know, management authorized and on sort of a mid-quasi-authorized label with this whole NEMS thing, right? Anyways, so they're not on it for that reason. And Rainbow's not on it. We're going to get to that, but Rainbow's not on it because they made a crappy live album. But back to the happy story. So Judas Priest, the amazing thing about this, oh, here goes my ink thing again. So let's look at this. Unleashed in the East, only a single live album, right? So you can screw up, right? But no, do they screw up? So anyways, we start with Exciter, one of the heaviest songs of the 80s, 70s. Running Wild, Sinner, absolutely, totally modern, proggy, heavy, amazing riffs. The Ripper, same sort of thing. Short song. It's even short on here. 244. Amazing, amazing heavy metal song. And then the Green Man Alishi, the Fleetwood Mac cover that is so incredibly heavy on Killing Machine, one of the heaviest songs from the 70s. So right there alone, you've got the heaviest side of music of all of the 70s. Studio or live. Over to side two, you've got Diamonds and Rust. So, you know, it kind of lets down the side a little bit, but it is a gallop. It is up-tempo. It is played with heavy metal instruments. It's just a little poppy on the melody, I suppose. Then we've got Victim of Changes, Genocide, and Tyrant. So we've got this amazing this trio of tracks, all from Sad Wings, three of the heaviest songs on Sad Wings. You know, absolutely glorious heavy metal side of music as well, with that light, you know, that slight asterisk to it with Diamonds and Rust. But wow. And then let's continue here. So the Japanese 7-inch EP / bonus tracks, 2001 bonus tracks, Rock Forever, Delivering the Goods, Hellbent for Leather, and Starbreaker, four completely heavy metal songs of the 70s. Hellbent for Leather, one of the heaviest of the 70s. Well, even Delivering the Goods, you know, even moving to a Sabbathy direction. UK 7-inch EP, Rock Forever, Hellbent for Leather, Beyond the Realms of Death. So you get the first, you know, inkling of something that's a semi-ballad. You know, it's so, you know, the one step further from Diamonds and Rust, but even that has heaviness to it. So even when you expand to the extras, this remains a super, super heavy album. So, as I was saying earlier, this is absolutely the correct answer. I don't think anything even comes close to this. And I dare say, you know, my list from the 70s studio albums went the likes of Overkill, Killing Machine, Bomber, Stained Class, Rainbow Rising, Black Sabbath Sabotage, Sex Pistols, Nevermind the Bollocks, Volume 4, Sin After Sin, Deep Purple in Rock, Motorhead, Black Sabbath, Master of Reality, Let There Be Rock, Van Halen, Riot, Narita, Rainbow, Down Earth. So there's your top 16 or so. I would vault Unleashed in the East, if we were to allow live albums into this list, I would vault it to the number one slot. It is the heaviest album of all of the 1970s. And I took a hardline look, like I say, and I don't think any of my other four choices or any of our other examples would even crack the top 20, but they would start showing up very light, you know, very for sure, right after that, sort of thing. So, that is our official five. I just wanted to mention a few honorable mentions. You're wondering, where is Thin Lizzy Live and Dangerous? I rated that a 6/7. Because I took a hard look at the track list, and it's got a lot of stuff that is not particularly heavy on here. We've got Southbound, we've got Rosalie, we've got Dancing in the Moonlight, we've got Still in Love with You, we got Johnny the Fox Meets Jimmy the Weed. We've got, Cowboy Song's pretty heavy. We've got Baby Drives Me Crazy. And The Rocker, you know, is always a little old school. You know, the heavy stuff on here, we've got Jailbreak, Emerald, Massacre, Don't Believe the Word, I always considered pretty heavy song. Warriors, Are You Ready? The non-LP song's pretty heavy. Suicide's heavy. Sha-la-la's heavy. So, yeah, it's getting close. It's getting close. It's almost nudging up to the likes of your UFO and, you know, Aerosmith. It's kind of in that Aerosmith Live bootleg range, right? Blue Oyster Cult, you know, they don't think like heavy metal people. And I don't think On Your Feet or On Your Knees is particularly a heavy album. It's got a heavy-looking album cover. It's one of the heaviest-looking live album covers. Same with Some Enchanted Evening, heavy album cover. But they wasted a lot of space on that with covers and two long songs, blah, 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 for a single album. So, no, Blue Oyster Cult is a big fail. They do not make one of the heaviest live albums of the 70s, and they could have, right, had they picked certain songs. Status Quo Live, I thought of that one as well, and I went through the tracks, and it's pretty darn heavy. You know, Status Quo Live, let's see, what would we give that? I would probably give that something like a 5.7. What would I give On Your Feet or On Your Knees? I would give that a 4.6, I'd say. And Some Enchanted Evening, I would give about a 4.6 as well. So that's why those aren't on here. It's funny, all of this came up, you know, we were arguing back and forth about Grand Funk, and Monty put some Grand Funk song on there, which was not heavy at all. I didn't think, it was like a funk song with electric. Anyways, their live album looks heavy, but I don't think it's particularly heavy. And the other band I left out of this, you're wondering, where is Made in Japan? Where is Made in Europe? Well, again, I ruled out bands that got too jammy, too bluesy, did a full side of whatever, you know, Child in Time. So I think Deep Purple is another band that easily, had they intentioned it that way, or even just disciplined somewhat, they could have been on this list, but they're not with either of those two albums. And Rainbow is the other one that I think is a complete disaster. So Rainbow is literally the only band on this list that I would say would have the two grades be in a reverse order. So Rainbow, I would probably give a... for Rainbow in the 70s, I would give an 8 for the catalog, and I would give a 5 for their live album. Because we've got Kill the King, amazing. We start off totally heavy, non-LP track. You know, it's on Long Live Rock and Roll, which came out after. Super heavy song, one of their heaviest. Man on the Silver Mountain, heavy. Then we go into blues, Starstruck. Monty thinks it's not a very heavy song. I think it is. Man on the Silver Mountain, Reprise, Starting to Fall Asleep. Catch the Rainbow, super long that. Mistreated, 16th Century Greensleeves is heavy, and then Still I'm Sad. So we got a long bit of Mistreated and a long bit of Catch the Rainbow and Still I'm Sad, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's one where they actually go backwards. So there you go. That's our show. Let us know what you think over on the Facebook situation. But yeah, I really enjoyed doing this exercise because I found the correct answer. I just hope I haven't completely missed something, but I can't think of what I might have completely missed. You guys can let me know. If you like the show and want to support future episodes, go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button, buy me a coffee or a pint. This week, I would like to thank Joe Bett, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, John Folkers, very generous, thank you very much, John, Sasha Kellerman, Mike Lopez, Monty Olson, Augustine Garcia de Paredes, Philip Edward Phyllis, Steve Polari, Dan Rosenson, and John Stuckey. You can check out my books at martinpopoff.com. There's a lot happening right now. We've got Kiss at 50s brand new, In the Groove, the big vinyl book that I'm one of 5 writers on, but I've got copies of that as well. So yeah, everything at martinpopoff.com. PayPal buttons, I sign them, send them out from the office here. Still have The Who, Quadrophenia, still have The Bowie, the big plush, nicest book anybody ever did for me through Voyager Motor Books. That's Bowie at 75. And the Dominance and Submission Blue Oyster Cult panel book is doing surprisingly well. So that's over there as well. But there you go. For your homework. You know what? I forgot to mention. I almost included Kiss on here for Kiss Alive. And I looked at Alive 2, and I think, yeah, they kind of dropped the ball on that. There's some pretty poppy stuff on there. Of course, we've got the studio side as well. But Alive 1 is pretty darn heavy. And again, the idea here is that live, this is one of those great live albums because it is a big improvement in excitement level and heft over the studio studio productions, right, of those first three albums. Side three is the really heavy one on here, though. We got Watching You, 100,000 Years in Black Diamond. But yeah, a fair bit of heaviness throughout the rest of it as well. And for, you know, for 75, we're dealing with, you know, material from 74 and 75. So we're quite a ways back. And it's an American band, so they can't be as heavy as other bands. You're a Heap live, pretty heavy as well. But no, Kiss just fell a little bit short. You know, I would almost put Kiss Alive right in the same range as Aerosmith Live Bootleg. But yeah, what I was getting at there is, where is it here? You know, I think for homework, we want to give props to the big underdog here. Go play that T's Tour of Japan album. I think that is just a really fantastic single live heavy album, from the performances, the production, and the heaviness of the songs all the way down. Like I say, I almost included Lady Killer on here, but anyways, T's Tour of Japan, there you go. But our heaviest 70s live album of all time is absolutely Unleashed in the East. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.